Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What are you looking for here?
Time. I need time to forgive myself. I need to escape. To forget what I did. I'm going. Are you staying or are you coming too?
No. This was the best month of my life. We're all prisoners of ourselves. And from that, there is no possible escape.
Happy Heresies, and welcome to the Desert of the Real. And indeed, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. We are all just prisoners here of our own device, or are we? That's from the very Gnostic theme movie, The Platform 2. And I think it hits it on the head. In the movie, this guilty protagonist goes into sort of this squid game, Mad Max hellscape because she feels she needs to do penance for the horrible sin in her real life. But she realizes, no, it's not the hell outside of us that's going to redeem us. It's going in and redeeming our inner self, making those demons into angels, into aeons. But good Halloween film if you're interested. And yes, this Sunday we will have a special show dealing with Gnostic theme Halloween flicks. I will mention The Platform and some others. Hope to see you there. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your Pompidus of Gnosis. And today, as always, we are very excited to have the mighty David Block to give us the second presentation from his latest trilogy. David, how are you doing?
It's great. Thank you, Miguel. Thank you for having me. And hard work with this presentation. It's a quite long one. I hope we'll get through. And it's the second part.
Wonderful. We'll get through it. And I'm sure it's good. And I know you put a lot of hard work, but you are affecting people in a positive way. And with us too, we got the Moondog Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
I'm good. Waiting for this gnosis to descend upon us.
It shall indeed. All right, good to see everybody in the chat room. Looks like we got a really good crowd today. As always, please support this show any way you can. Subscribe, share, because we are definitely suppressed, which is not uncommon for people in the esoterica who have the dangerous ideas. And please support David. David now has a website, davidblock.org. It's on the show notes, so check it out. So, because again, like me, he's kind of gets hidden in a certain platform. So if you want to really find out what David is up to, go to davidblock.org and check him out. And support your alternative Gnostic creators out there. If you have any questions for David or complaints for Vance and I, or suggestions, costume suggestions for Halloween, please super chat them and we shall get to it. So I can't think of any other housekeeping. So shall we just get started, David? Shall we hit the ground running, as they say?
Absolutely. Let's.
All right. Let me pull up the presentation, and here it is. And I believe, you have control. You are the demiurge now, David. We are just the prisoners of your device.
Sounds good. Yeah, thank you, Miguel. And yes, this is part two of a part three series. The first one was Atlantis, Ishtar, and Humanity's Fall. And of course, it's good to see them all. If you want to get it, really get into it and understand it all. For this presentation, it will be a lot of new information, a lot of details. And I will repeat myself a couple of times. I don't do it to irritate you, but to hammer home certain points so you don't get lost in this presentation, because this will be a lot of information and a lot of details. Easy to miss. So I hope it will be a good presentation and that you like it.
Awesome. Thank you.
The New Testament for a New Human. I'm going to talk about Jesus and that character. But don't worry, this is not Christmas Jesus or flip-flop Jesus. This is the hardcore Jesus. This is real thing. So don't shut down. This comes in many parts, and I continue on from the first part. So I start with part 14, and that's Jesus in Egypt. John the Baptist is 15, 16, Bowie and the Black Star, the Matrix Machine, Apsu and the Underworld, Enki and Apsu, Ishtar and Apsu, the Gold Room, Anubis and Set, Ansu Bird, the Machine, Crucifixion, Dead Reckoning, Lucifer Unbound, and A Space Odyssey 2001. And I will decode A Space Odyssey 2001 in the last part of this series. And it is for a reason why I end this series with that movie. And you will start to get it, get the idea already in this part. So let's start with part 14. Jesus in Egypt. Yeah, we have this gap in the New Testament where we don't know where Jesus went, doesn't say, and he was gone for many years. And in some apocrypha, he's in the Egypt, right? Apocrypha. And my take on this, because it seems we have many Jesus, many different characters, and my take on it is that when they created the New Testament, they combined different characters into one character they called Jesus. So they have taken inspiration from different characters and put them together into one character. And over time, that character has become this flip-flop Jesus we see. But that's not the main character. We have to divide them and analyze them one by one. And you have this, Amon Hillman is talking about the drug Jesus. Lena Einhorn is talking about a character called Ben Stada. Mm-hmm. And it is Ben Stada I will focus on here. But there are two more characters made up Jesus of two more characters at least. Mm-hmm. And we have this shift in time. And I agree with Lena Einhorn and others here as well, that they have pushed back the timeline. My take is that this happened between like 40 and 100 after Christ. So they pushed back and shift timeline. And that's a very Saturnian thing to do, isn't it? Because Saturn is the god of time. So they have used Saturn, Ninurta, to shift time and to have the narrative taking place like year 0 to 33. I want to focus on the left-hand path teaching, and you can find it in the New Testament. It's there. You can read it behind the lines, and I'm a little bit disappointed that no one is talking about it, because they seem to be focused on different characters of Jesus, but no one is talking about the profound stuff, the real profound stuff, because it's there. You can't deny it. I think they have changed a lot of things in the Bible, the New Testament. Things have been misunderstood because of language problems. Things have been distorted, propaganda reasons. This is very hard to discern. But still, you can find very profound left-hand path teaching in there. So I will focus on the crucifixion. And I promise to come back to this character, Jesus, in the end of this presentation. But I have to take you on a journey. But you will understand what happened during the crucifixion if you go along with me. So please bear with me. I will start to talk about Jesus, and I will end to talk about Jesus. To begin with, Christianity's first symbol was a fish and an anchor, not the cross. Mm-hmm. And the fish and the anchor was, of course, in the ocean, and you had water. We have talked about water many times here on this show. Water is mem, the Hebrew letter mem, and the number is 40. And it's about memory, science, language, nations. That is very important. And you have Enki, who is Poseidon, Ptah, and Enki. Of course, Enki, Poseidon, and Ptah. Therefore, there are a lot of symbology in the New Testament that points towards Enki. But Enki is not the same thing as Lucifer. And I will hammer home that point here today, because some attribute Enki to Lucifer. It is related. So you can say Enki is Luciferian, but Enki ain't Lucifer. If you unfold the cross, it becomes a cube. And the cube is a symbol of Saturn. What we want to do is unfold the cube to exit this matrix, or to reach higher into the metaphysical realm, towards the fixed stars and beyond our solar system. That's the goal here, to overcome Saturn, who is a threshold towards deeper metaphysical spaces or dimensions. And it's important to hammer home that Jesus was in Egypt, because I claim that most of the teaching came from Egypt. And Jesus was there to study and study left-hand path. And Ben Stala can be that character.
Right.
But remember that they have combined these characters, so things get distorted, mixed up, and so on. But I will point to the details that show you at that in that direction. So you have this fish and the anchor. You have the water and mem, and that is 40. And there are a couple of gods attributed to Sirius. Dagon is one of them, but also Enki. And Enki is also Poseidon and Ptah. Both Dagon and Enki star, fixed star, is Sirius. On Sirius, we find the spirits called oneness. And the oneness come across as amphibious creatures. Some portray them as men with fish suits on. And another very important symbol for Christianity is the crown of thorns. And I will try to explain that symbol and what it means. And John the Baptist is a very important character in the New Testament, of course. And he is the one who baptized Jesus in water, in memory. That's a metaphysical preparation and to take back the memory of you. Because when we are reborn, we forget past lives. It's like a boatman moment where we are blank. And we have done this boatman moment in a collective sense. Humanity have gone through those moments. But this is a personal boatman moment where our memory are wiped clean and we come back and we have to start all over again. The thing is that when you start to work in the metaphysical, you start to program the memory into your own being, like your blood and your DNA. Therefore, some of the metaphysical work can be reawakened again. And you can start to work and go forward again. So you have some advantage if you start to work and remember it and start to work on it again in next life. So therefore, we have a progress to go forward. Otherwise, our lifespan is quite short. So we have this Mem, water, and 40. And that is really Apsu water, or Asar water as well. To remember that you are a spirit, having an experience through body, is a huge step forward. Because if you only think that you are this body, or that you wait for something to happen to save you, aliens or whatever, nothing will happen. They got you. Because the problem for us is that when we die and our lifespan is quite short, we start all over all the time. And if you have some people who want to rule over us, who have an esoteric method how to remember past reincarnation in order to continue their plan, then they will own us. Because they will have power and we have none. So this is a symbol for as above, so below. And I will come back to that. Remember that we are talking about absolute water, the underworld, and to go down into the underworld in order to have a connection with the metaphysical. And I will come back to that. And this John Baptist was decapitated. He lost his head. He was killed. And that's a huge artifact they have. They claim it's John the Baptist, but who knows, right? And it's not that important for me. Because this character, both Jesus and John the Baptist, show me something about method, how I can work, not how I can wait and worship. Because that's not my thing as a left-hand path practitioner at all. In the first part, I talked about Zeus and his war with Cronus and Prometheus or Prometheus. But of course, Zeus has done much more than that, right? There's a lot of stories in the Greek mythology about this character, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those mythologies is about Perseus. And Perseus was the son of Zeus. And Perseus defeats Medusa. And Medusa, the head, is the head of the Algol. So Algol is a fixed star, and Medusa is in that fixed star. So if you decapitate Medusa, takes her head, you have also decapitated the fixed star Algol. Now, what they're saying is that they took Algol down with them to matter and use that force against their own enemies, to turn the sword against your enemies. But this cut down of the fixed stars is also to take down forces from this fixed stars into matter, or to use the fixed stars to have an impact in matter, or to change something in matter, or enhance something in matter, enhance an effect in matter. Our goal influences the planets Saturn and Jupiter in our solar system. And that's very interesting, because that's exactly Enlil's planets. Enlil's planet is Jupiter, because he has taken over Jupiter from Marduk, Zeus. And Saturn is his son's planet, Ninurta. So they have both these planets. And I think Enlil is really the power behind the throne, acting through Ninurta, his son, who have taken his place in the solar system. Therefore, we have come under Enlil rule, because he have taken over this very important planets, both Saturn and Jupiter. Zeus is under Enlil's influence because he ended up under Jupiter and Saturn. Zeus' planet was Jupiter in the beginning, Marduk, but Enlil took over that source, that energy. And Zeus, Marduk ended up under Enlil, and under Enlil's influence. Meaning, Marduk, Zeus started to shift in mentality towards an Enlil Ninurta energy pattern, like manipulation. So this story about Medusa, Zeus, and Perseus is very important. And one thing to point out in this Greek mythology is that Medusa is completely innocent here.
Very true.
Yeah, but she's still the evil one, right? I cannot go into that story too much, but it was Enki who seduced her to have a child with her, and some goddess become jealous of Medusa, and they wanted to slay Medusa. But she's still the evil one, remember? Right. Medusa is the evil one. And of course, Medusa is about poison and remedy. She has snakes in her hair. So if you have taken down her fixed star and use it against your enemy and enhance the effect, you can also use Al Ghul as heighten up potency in poison and remedies, like an alky. You focus on the Al Ghul, trace Al Ghul, and draw down that energy in the poison you want to give other people, or the remedy, hopefully. But it's the intent of the people who use Al Ghul who are really the villain, right? And Enlil and Ninurta is not the best gods around, let's say like that. So we have matter and metaphysical, and the metaphysical, because remember, the metaphysical is the one, the metaphysical is what it is, what program matter, right? Our matter comes from the metaphysical and becomes dense matter. And you can see this in the Tree of Life, for example, where matter is Asaya Malkuth.
Right.
So if you want to make change in matter, you go up to the metaphysical and draw it down and have some profound change in matter through method and ritual. And this is also, this has also to do with chakra and method. Chakra is a very powerful method. Very few work with it. But through the chakra, if you ignite the chakra system, you have an easier access to the metaphysical. You have a connection. Your body, your temples start to vibrate in a different frequency, and you are more in tune, become more in tune to the metaphysical. You can start to communicate the spirits and so on. You hear them. And of course, this is what as above, so below means, and as within, so without. That you have to go within, transform your temple, your body, and you will have a shift as outside of you, and you can go up and draw down change in matter from the metaphysical. It goes together. You have access to the metaphysical when you go within, as within. So there is a connection with the fixed star Al Ghul in this instance. When we talk about Medusa, the head of Medusa, what they are talking about is the fixed star Al Ghul. They have cut the head off of Medusa, bringing down the fixed star Al Ghul's, the effect of Al Ghul down into matter. And they use it against their enemies. Baneful magic, as we call it. Now, a good rule of thumb is don't lose your head. That's very important, especially when you work with the chakra, right? Because you want to turn them all on, not only to the heart chakra, but even further up to the crown chakra, all the way. The serpent snake should be turned on all the way from bottom and up. So if you lose your head, you have lost many chakras and you are really stuck in the lower chakras. And the three lower chakra, to be specific, where the last chakra is the sun chakra, or the yellow chakra. Solar plexus. So here you have Perseus holding up Medusa's head, and that's called the oblongata or medulla. The oblongata is a stem-like structure, and it contains the cardiac, heart rate, breathing, lungs, blood pressure, anger and aggression, and if you lose it, you will lose control over the blood pressure, and you will be act out with anger, and you can be stuck in that lower part of the chakra energy center, and the energy cannot spread up all the way to the crown or go up all the way to the crown. If you want to take the Kundalini chakra up, down, up, because you can take it from up and down as well. Depends on what you choose to. But here it's very important to point out that we're talking about the oblongata stem-like structure contains the cardiac, heart rate, breathing, lungs, blood pressure, and blood is very important, right? And anger and aggression. And if you fail, you can end up in Hades or in Abzu, especially if you work in the esoteric with esoteric method. It's very important that all of this is turned on and that you can use it when you go on this metaphysical journeys. So don't lose your head, because you will need the last four chakra turned on as well on your journey to Hades or Abzu. And you have a lot of gods stuck, even the gods are stuck there, right? So it's not only humans who fail here. So that's maybe a sign that you should take it serious. So you have the three lower chakras, beginning with Muladhara, that's the root chakra. And this chakra is a lot about sexuality and to be based in matter or be stuck in matter, sexual energy, to transform it and work with it, sexual magic, turn them on and use that to your advantage, because your body fluids is an asset if you can harness it, if you can work with it, if you don't become a prey by it or become a slave under it. Sexuality is the most important for you, the human race, except food and those basic stuff, because we have to reproduce. But if you are stuck with the idea that reproduction is the only way you can use sex, you have missed the point here. You should work with it, transform it, and push that energy up. So if you're stuck in the three lower chakras, that means that the solar plexus, the sun chakra, is the last one where you are stuck at. You have lost your head. Remember the medulla. Mm-hmm. Medulla. So you're stuck in the gold room and the shining. You have this hotel I've decoded before, right? Here you have the elite. An elite kind of a restaurant or ballroom where the elite are stuck at, because they haven't transformed those traits in themselves, like sexual appetite, misguided sexuality, food, money, power, lower things into matter. They want to rule in matter. And they've become sexual predators and misuse all of those that energy. They are completely wrong people to do this journey, but they have tried. So Jack, for example, the main villain in the movie, and Jack has lost his head.
Yeah,
and he's an angry man. And one of the most famous lines here is Johnny, of course. Right, he stick out his head through the door and look like a maniac. And he has lost his morals, right? That's a sign of a man who have lost his head, mm-hmm. because of anger. And many would argue sexual appetite as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, Jack has lost his head and has ended up in the gold room. And we know that he has been there for a very, very long time because of his confrontation with a specific man, right? He has always been the caretaker. It's not a good sign in this particular instance in the Hotel of the Shining, let's say it like that. But we have a very interesting musician as well, David Bowie. And he made a very interesting music video, The Black Star. We start with part 16 now. So The Black Star is a very famous music video by now, a very good one, very esoteric music video, and many try to decode it as always. I will try to make sense of it here today. And if you follow me through all the way, you will get it. It's not like it is not impossible to decode it. It is just, it takes some time. So in the music video, you have a fratuir, a lady with a tail, open up an astronaut's helmet, and you see a skull there, the head of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had lost his head. He had been decapitated. He's stuck. And he's an astronaut. Therefore, there's a technology component to this as well. Some people want to use technology to transcend or go towards the metaphysical and into other dimensions. And you see in the music video the Black Sun. Right, the music. In the music video, you have the Black Sun. And this is about the Abzu and the astral water. Because now we're talking about traveling to the metaphysical. That is astral water. And that is about the underworld and the Abzu. And I will come back to that. Now you have this theme, as above, so below. And you have to work it through, otherwise you will be stuck in the goal room. When you start this journey, make sure you go all the way and work your way through it so you don't get stuck in the cliffotic tree or somewhere in Universe B, it's the same thing, right? But you have to work with it. It's not for all. And we can clearly see that John the Baptist seems to have got lost this method of his. And there is a technology component to this as well. And he tried to tell you many things at the same time here. I will go through that later on again. You also have three crucified scarecrows with straws that are stuffed, stuck. And I go straight away to the farmer gods. My mind wandered to the farmer gods and to Enlilion, because Enlilion is the farmer gods. And if the Christians get it their way, then Jesus is the son of Enlil or Ninurta, right? Probably son of Enlil. And that's the reason why you should wait for him, because he will never come. Then you are stuck in Mac. Very easy trick. Not hard. Then Ninurta has you. So if they can fool you that Jesus is Enlil's son and that you should wait for him, then his son has you under his rule, Saturn rule. So you have this crucifixion scene, and of course Jesus was crucified in the middle of two thieves or robbers. And he was in the middle of them. This is about the chakra and the black star. And the black star is the highest chakra. To reach to the black star, you have to turn on all the chakra system, all the way up, from Muladhara, the root chakra, all the way to the crown and beyond. Because there is a chakra above the crown chakra called Sunyata as well. And from Sunyata, you can fall down into the cliffotic tree or the universe B. And now you become a black star. Can become a black star. But this poor people, this straw scarecrows, they are stuck in matter. They are crucified in matter. And if you unfold the cross, it becomes a cube. They are under Enlil rule, Ninurta, a farmer god. They are scarecrow, strawmans, crucified in matter. So part 17, the matrix machine. I have to take a little detour here. I will come back to all of that. I promise that you will understand more of both David Bowie, The Shining, and Jesus. As I said in part one, this asteroid belt came about, came from Tiamat or Krypton. And it was Marduk who destroyed that planet. The asteroid belts formed out of the planets, the parts of the planet that exploded. They become a crown. Lucifer's crown, or the crown of thorns, is this asteroid belt between Jupiter and Mars. But when they exploded this planet, when they destroyed it, Marduk, and remember Marduk was Enki's son, they also destroyed a stargate, a natural stargate that pointed toward Sirius. The natural stargate toward Sirius, this was a very long time, was made up are from the Moon, Saturn, and Tiamat. And they aimed it at the Sun. Therefore, you can open up a hole into the Sun, and it starts out like a black hole in the center of the Sun that grows until it swallows the Sun. And then you can go through it from universe A to universe B. There are other ways to go over to universe B than through the black Sun. But now we're talking about Sirius specifically. We want to go towards Sirius through the black Sun, or our Sun, that turn into the black Sun through method. So you have the old Stargate system, Tiamat, Krypton, Saturn, the Moon as well. Sorry, not the Moon here. I was wrong. Sorry. I take that back, because the old Stargate system was made up of Tiamat, Saturn's moon, Iapetus, and the Sun. But when the Stargate was destroyed, they had to reconnect it. They took a stone from the asteroid belt and created the Moon out of that stone and put some tech on it. I think they wanted to have the same energy fingerprint as Tiamat had. Now the Moon became, instead of Tiamat and Krypton, part of the new Stargate system, who were made up with Saturn's moon, probably Iapetus, the Moon, and then aimed at the Sun.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I hope you got me. Get me.
We got it.
Great. So what is ups and downward? And this is a complicated thing. I will try to explain it. For some people, the Apsu is only the underworld where the ghosts and demons and gods and men are. But that's not all. That is just a small part of the story. The underworld is much more than that. So the underworld in Sumeria, Babylon, called Apsu. In Greek mythology, called Hades. And Apsu is made up of two words, Ab and Su. And Ab means water, and Su means deep. Deep water. And it's the primordial water below the void space of the underworld, Kur, and the earth, Ma, above. So the underworld, Kur, and the earth, Ma, above. It is fresh water from the underground. Apsu temple, and astral water are connected. the Abzu Temple can be a pyramid, for example, a ziggurat in Mesopotamia or in Sumeria, Babylon. So the temples, the pyramids, the ziggurats, the Maya temple is connected to Abzu or astral water or water from the underworld. The underworld is also a word for the metaphysical. So when you cross over from universe A to universe B, you travel from astral water or Abzu water, underworld water. So when you go down, you also can go into the metaphysical. So if you have the idea that it's only tunnels, physical tunnels down there and water you can take a bath in, you got the wrong idea. It is a metaphysical device we're talking about. A metaphysical device that you can become stuck in if you don't know what you're doing, or if you have the wrong attitude, or if you have lost the chakras, if you have lost the head. And it's about to cross over to the metaphysical. That's the main theme here. And if you go to an ocean or a lake, you can see yourself in that lake as a mirror. Now we have become a magical mirror because you can go through universe A to universe B. To cross over to the other side, you have become a mirror to the metaphysical, and you can take that metaphysical through method and take it back to universe A and again and mirror it back and have a change in matter through a method, through becoming a magical mirror. The reflection in water mirrors you, because this is about you. Remember, when you travel to the metaphysical universe B, you travel inside of yourself. There is nothing outside of you. Even when you soul travel, you travel inside of yourself. You go within. You are the universe. You are the mirror. Mm-hmm. And this mirror is, of course, when you mirror yourself in the waters, you become upside down and you become the hanged man. Bringing change, the word made flesh, is what we're talking about. If you really want to change anything in the material plane, you have to become a traveler. You have to become a mirror. You have to become a boatman. You need connection to the metaphysical to bring in the change you want. From this playing field, the material playing field, you are very limited as a human. You still can do wonderful things, and people have. Like you are talking about Elvis. That's a wonderful thing to be able to mesmerize so many people. But we still need to go over to the metaphysical if we want to have a profound change in humanity.
Right.
And that is what we want. Doesn't mean that we should discard what we can do in matter. All music, all of that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. If we really want evolution, then evolution is on the other side for you to take in. And you can soul and astral travel. And you can transform your body fluids, your temple, because your temple is the flesh, your body. You still have your soul. You still have the opportunity to turn on your chakra system. You still have the opportunity to become a boatman, an astral traveler, on astral water. And the body fluids is an important part of that. Blood, for example, all of that, all of it. Doesn't mean that you need to have some great group sex, right? You can do other method to turn on your temple.
Of course.
This is energies. This is a powerful tool of yours. It is because we misuse it. That's the reason why we are stuck. It is good to have children, but we have to educate them to also use sex for the metaphysical purpose as well. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean debauchery or group sex, but respect the power, respect the force of it. The body is your temple. Transform it from lead into gold. Change frequency through the work of the body. Body fluids become a magical mirror. And one of those methods is chakra and kundalini, because that change the vibration in your body, frequencies. And you come in tune much more with the metaphysical. You will sense it. So let me make it clear. Apsu is the primordial fresh water. Universe B, underworld, and Sitra Ara is the same thing, right? It's the other side. Doesn't mean that the tunnels, the water, doesn't exist as a physical manifestation, and that's also important. But there is another metaphysical esoteric method they are talking about at the same time here. So you have this astral water, and this astral water you can have access to the astral water if you become a magical mirror, a boatman or a cosmic sailor. I call that the boatman archetype. Now let's go back to the ancient one, the Apsu, the ancient one under Tiamat and the great old ones, give birth to Ansu. The Ansu bird. What does that mean? I will come back to that. The Ansu bird comes from Tiamat line, Apsu, the ancient ones. What does that mean for us? The connection to the ancient ones through water. You see, Apsu was defeated, but Enki took Apsu down into matter and put it underneath his ziggurat temple, right? And that's a machine. In the first part, I talked about Ishtar and the Apsu, or the underworld. Let's go back to that in part 18. And let me make a couple of things clear here. Enki is very connected to Apsu. More names of Enki. I will come back to Ishtar very soon. I have to take you on a journey here. More names on Enki is Enki, Eo, Ata, Poseidon, Neptune. And Sirius is the star. I say Dagon. Sirius is Dagon's star. Sorry. Was the AI. Eridu is Enki's city. And Eridu was known as E-Apsu. And Enki was the god of science and magic. He was the god of art, god of fresh water, water of life. Euphrates and Tigris came about from Enki's semen. And here you have close connection to water, magic, science, art. Apsu is a very important figure connected to Enki. I mentioned it. Apsu is connected to Enki because he took down Apsu and placed it underneath his ziggurat temple. That is about water, memory, science, language, scientific language, or a metaphysical language. And Enki is attributed with the animals fish and goat. Now come back to fish, as in Christianity, and the goat. A little bit more strange is his attribute to a bird, an eagle. Now we try to explain what that means later on. Because the bird and the fish is two completely different animals, right? One is flying in the air and one is swimming in the water. And his sign is the Capricorn, of course. Enki's star sign is Capricorn. Here can you see a depiction of Enki? And you can see the fishes, and that's a given. But then you see a bird. Who is that bird? So some people would say an eagle, but that is a little bit strange if it is an eagle. Maybe it is, but I would say it's the Amsu bird. And the Amsu bird comes from the Amsu water that Enki had taken down under his Ziggurat temple when they defeated the ancient ones, the great old ones. So there were war with the ancient ones, the great old ones, Tiamat, for example, Kingu. And another name for Kingu is Belial and Amsu. And Dagon was one of the great old ones. And Dagon's star was Sirius from the beginning. Now Enki puts Amsu to sleep, places him in the Kur under his temple, Ziggurat. That is to say, primeval sea below the void space of the underworld Kur under the earth Ma above. Amsu is a monster. He was conceived from the waters of Amsu, the Amsu bird. Therefore, Amsu comes from the ancient ones and the ancient stargate system with water, is birthed forth from water. Come from the old stargate system where Dagon was the chief of a series, and when a Tiamat still existed as a planet. Now he's trapped under Enki's Ziggurat. Don't worry if it doesn't make any sense yet. I will explain it all for you. Just be patient. Tiamat is defeated by Marduk. The planet explodes and creates the asteroid belt. Lucifer's crown, a crown of thorn, as I explained before. And this is the ancient ones, right? And Amsu comes from that line of gods. Prisoned by Enki for the moment. A new stargate system has to be put in place. Enki is the architect. Technology is used. And this is the stargate I explained before. Moons of Saturn, Iapetus, Mimas, or probably Iapetus, is one component in the stargate system. Azazel have stated that he is trapped in Mimas. And Azazel can be viewed as another mask of Lucifer. Therefore, you can say that Lucifer is bound or chained, as in the Greek mythology, bound into the new stargate system, because they have to hold him back, to keep him out. Eridu was known as Eabsu, the house of the Amsu. And now we know that Amsu was the primordial water and the god under Tiamat, and he trapped that god under his Ziggurat temple. Eabsu, Amsu temple, is also cosmic water. Ea, as his name, Ea, Enki, means the house of water. And that is a cigarette, ekur and mem, meaning water under the pyramid. And it is a technology attributed to it. And he has trapped Abzu. And from Abzu comes the Anzu bird. Birthed. The Anzu bird is birthed from the Abzu under Enki's pyramid. So Ekur can mean pyramid. It is the Tower of Babylon. And the Tower of Babylon was destroyed. And it was destroyed from Enlil line and from Ninurta, who worked on behest of Enlil. And the Watcher stated that the dragon lines, the ley lines, was destroyed during that period, that event as well. There was a destruction of the grids of this planet. It was a huge thing, the Tower of Babylon incident. But it's very important to point out that Ekur can mean ziggurat, pyramid, and the Tower of Babylon was, of course, a ziggurat from Babylon. And I've talked about this many times before, this Etem and Anki, Temple of Heaven and Earth, to connect Earth to Heaven. Kadingraki, Babylon, is the Babylon's tower, Ziggurat of Babylon. And it was destroyed by Ninurta. But the name Nimrod comes about. And I think Nimrod is a name of an elite esoteric priest class under Ninurta. One who works for Ninurta. Because when you are an elite esoteric priest class during this time, you're supposed to mimic or take on the God's attribute and play it out on earth. You do the God's bidding here in matter. So the conclusion is, Enki is the god of science, magic, and art. Eridu, Eabzu, Ekur, Ziggurat, is pointing towards the Enki Ziggurat in Eridu, and it is water under it, and it is a captured god called Abzu, who later on gave birth to the bird Anzu, to the Anzu bird. Abzu is a mem, and water, memory. And mem is water and memory. So it is a mem device. Enki defeats the great old ones, and Marduk does the most damage. Traps Abzu under the Ekur Ziggurat. Destroys Tiamat, Marduk his son does. Therefore, they destroy the natural star gate, Tiamat, and creates his own, Abzu. Capturing Abzu and creates his own star gate system with technology that is bound to his ziggurat, or his ziggurat is part of that technology. And that is nature under control of technology. Sirius is his star under technology, the matrix machine. Back to Ishtar now. And Ishtar and Abzu, because Ishtar, a lot of Ishtar is about this underworld traveling. And we are talking about the descent of the goddess Ishtar into the lower world. Ishtar takes off 7 pieces of jewelry from the crown to the loincloth when she entered the underworld. What does that mean? Well, when you soul travel, a method to do it is to remove your chakra system one by one from the crown all the way down to the root chakra, the Muladhara. Now, you can't permanently remove your chakra, so don't imagine that you can, because then you will die. But you can do it for a short period of time. You become lighter. It's easier to soul travel. It's easier to travel
right.
to the metaphysical. So the seven chakras from crown to root and return them in reverse order in order to be reborn. And the method is to go down into the underworld and to redeem the dead, the one who was stuck there, and her lover, of course. Why does she do it? Only because of kindness? Or is there something more to this? And when we're talking about seven chakras, we're talking about the seven main chakras. You have many, many more chakras, but this is the main one. So the descent of the goddess Ishtar into the lower world, in this myth, in this poem, it says, together with him, play ye for me, ye weepers and lamenting women, that the dead may rise up and inhale the incense. What are they doing? Are they only there to let them leave or help them leave this hellish existence? Or are there something more to it? Of course there is. And the Apsu, I would say the gold room is part of this underworld. That's the mythology, that's the idea, that's the narrative Stanley Kubrick is going for. They are the dead. So there is a method to this. And in this underworld, there are many different, there are gods, they can be spirits, they can be humans who are trapped there. So in the realms between worlds, many souls remain trapped by false fates. Rites of passage of paternal solar cults of the lie are but dead ends, closed gateways from restructured half-rites stolen from ancient cultures. So you can really go lost there by believing in something that is a lie, because then you start to focus on something that is not true. And I feel that is exactly what the elite have done. They make us focus on things that is a lie. And we have a result with it in the metaphysical. Like reincarnation back, or can we end up in a prison because we are focused on something we can call heaven, but it is really a trap. In the first part, I talked about something I called a dead reckoning. And of course, Ishtar is here to do a dead reckoning as well. Because she not only do this to help these poor souls, but she is also here for a reward. That is, when she frees the dead souls who have accumulated a lot of knowledge and information, she can take part of that knowledge and information when she releases the souls. Therefore, her wisdom, knowledge, and power become increased through this method. That's the payment of these dead souls or lost souls. And you see that in Lord of the Rings, when Aragorn releases these dead souls trapped under the mountain and they help him win in Minas Tirith.
Yeah.
That's the same kind of a deal. Ishtar gained wisdom, and through method, she has also released the poor souls. It's a win-win, right? Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and let's go back to the Pyramid Wars. And I stated this in part one, but I have to state it again, because this is very important. in the Pyramid Wars, it is about Marduk's war with Ishtar. They don't really like each other, these two. And they end up in a war very close to the pyramids in Egypt, in Giza Plateau. When Marduk retreats to Egypt to reign supremacy of his own Mordukite tradition, Ishtar sets her sight on making the powers there her own as well. The fighting that erupts between brothers may be of similar theme to what is alluded in the former gods versus shepherd gods. And Marduk become trapped in the pyramid. What does that mean? How can you trap Marduk in the pyramid? His father's machine is trapped in his father's machine, right?
Right.
Well, the gods is not physical in that way, as we are. And what they are, I will come to that very soon. And how that can be a reality. So, in the Pyramid War, in the Pyramid Wars, Enlil, the former gods want to destroy the pyramids. They go around on this planet and destroy them. They don't like this technology that Enki have put up or built. The Tower of Babylon is one example, and the Tower of Babylon is destroyed by Ninurta, Nimrod. And Enlil think it's too much noise when the human race is using technology, soul travel, and going over to the metaphysical, wherever it is through your body or through technology. He don't want humanity there. Too much noise. The answer bird is part of the technology associated with the pyramids. And Enki line is shepherds wants to preserve the technology, keep the stargates open, because his star is Sirius. So he needs a link between our planet and his star, Sirius. And he can keep it open through technology. Otherwise, he lose access to the material plane we are at. And his hope is, of course, for Marduk to keep it open, because he have lost his ability to have an impact in matter where we are at. They are the ancient Anunnaki gods, not to be confused with the great old ones. But they are the older Anunnaki gods. The older Anunnaki gods is Anu, Enki, and Enlil. So we have this new finding, the Bosnian Pyramid. And in that Bosnian Pyramid, they find runes. And a professor translated it. And this runes is very old. And the old runes, there are many different forms of runes, are probably very, very old. And they try to hide it for us. But that's a very old language. And the runes is saying, gate is closed. We are on standstill. We will have to fight to defense and conquer until we are able to go through the Stargate. And the Bosnian Pyramid was deliberately closed up or hidden. Therefore, there has been a force on this planet who tried to hide this technology from us and our understanding of it. They don't want us to understand these things. However, you can cross over to Universe B with your body temple, but others need technology to do the same. And that's the problem, and that's the game we are playing here. Because they need you to put this infrastructure in place again after the destruction of Atlantis, after that apocalyptic incident. Because they are few and we are many. At the same time, they need to control us and tell us what we are and what we cannot do. Because if we awaken too soon, we will overcome them. Because they need technology and we don't. Part 21, the gold room. Of course, this is about The Shining. I will go back to The Shining a little bit. Sorry about this. The Shining stuff, but it is very profound. You have the gold room, and the gold room is in the center of it all. That's Tiferet. On the other side of Tiferet, on Universe B, you have Thagirion, the Black Sun. Therefore, you want to open a portal in Tiferet, or our sun, open it up so you can go over to the other side, Universe B and Thagirion. But below Tiferet, you have Yesod, or the moon. And you have this card, number 14, and Crowley named it Art. And that card ends up between the moon and the sun, or Yesod and Tiferet, on the tunnel between them, right? So if you put up 22 major cards of the arcana in the tunnels that connects the Sephiroths, all of them have a fixed position. This card Art ends up between Yesod and Tiferet, or the moon and the sun. And Crowley portray that card, or the lady who have done the artwork on his behead, on behest of Crowley, have done a beautiful work with a lady with green clothing. And of course, that's Isis Ishtar. Green and blue is her colors, Ishtar. And she is mixing fire with water. Because you need both if you're going to make it over, make this journey. The card Art, you have in it, you have fire and water, and you have a rainbow. Why rainbow? Well, if you cross the rainbow, you have moved over from the moon towards the Tiferet energy, and you have to work this alchemical formula, this body fluids, to connect to this path of the tree. In the rainbow, you get rainbow if you take water and you shower it in the air, and the sun is up, and you can create your own rainbow for water. That's a mixing of fire and water. On this rainbow, it says vitriol. And that is the philosopher's stone, because we are searching for this philosopher's stone, because a lot of things is at stake here. It's not like everyone is running into the gold room without a reason. We want to find our higher self, our guardian angel, our metaphysical self. We want to find power and transformation. And that is on the other side. This phrase, vitriol, means visita interiora terrae, rectificando in vinies occultum lapidem. By rectifying it, you will find the philosopher's stone. And because you have to find your own holy guardian angel, the real you, your authentic you, that's the philosopher's stone. And you have to do this journey. You have to risk, you have to dare, but you need the right attitude, and you need both water and fire with you, and you need the body fluids going together with that. Meaning you can't only use brain power, force and power, the masculine attributes, to succeed, but you also need the feminine attribute as well. The ability to relax, sit down, meditate, take it slow, take it in, your intuitivity tells you to back off, you should back off. You shouldn't force. Now you can understand that this esoteric elite is not about feminine attribute at all. They are only about power and force and intellect.
For sure.
They don't have an art. They have lost the art. And therefore, they are stuck.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.